B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast Radio Television. We're on 97.5 tonight. We're on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I watched a lot of Phillies baseball this weekend. You know, I get this feeling. You know, I've done it with, like, almost every season. Like, I could predict 2 years ago when the Eagles beat the Carolina Panthers in a midseason game where I went, that's a good team. I mean, you reach a moment when you watch a team. You look at this Sixers, you go, pretty good team. But they're probably not good enough to get to the NBA Finals. You just get a feeling about a team. If you know sports enough, you watch it long enough, you get a feeling. So I'm watching the Phillies, and I'm watching them especially in the Sunday game. And logic and reality sets in. And I go, right now, there's no way that this team is a playoff team. They're just not. Now, you can con yourself into thinking that they are. And the front office can con themselves into thinking that they are. But unless they make moves now, not at the trading deadline. Because here's the thing. I know it's more advantageous to them to wait to the trading deadline. I get all the logistics of that. But they're going to get buried before they get to the trading deadline if they don't do something now. And here's why. Because no playoff team that I've ever studied has been able to do this without doing two things. Either pitching or hitting. Now, I thought this team with the weaknesses of their pitching staff, and actually, I didn't think they were going to be that weak. I counted on number one and number two. And I said, with number one and number two, they can overcome the lack of 3-4-5 with hitting. But they haven't been able to do that. And not only that, but right now, they don't have a number one or number two. To succeed and get to the playoffs and to succeed in the playoffs, you need three good pitchers. You usually need an ace and two other pitchers that are okay. The Phillies, I will, like, admit right now, and we can all admit, they don't have an ace. So they have to do it with three solid pitchers. Right now, they have zero. Except maybe Eflin, who you go like this. They pitched two guys yesterday that don't belong in the major leagues. And thought they could get away with it. The mindset of starting out a game with Velasquez and using Cole Irvin and then having to use Jared Eichhoff is ridiculous logic. And there are two things that are at work here. Number one, you realize how thin you are when you're down to that. Number two, Jake Arrieta could have taken the ball for him on a Sunday and just did not. And they get blasted. Now, I know it's only one game of a long season, but we pretty much see what the Phillies are right now. They are bleeding. They've got a guy playing left field who's going to give you some good at-bats and hit a couple home runs. But as you saw that ball in the gap, he's not going to get to that ball in the gap. And Scott Kingery playing center field as a novice isn't going to get to that ball either. They are thin right now. And we had Matt Klentak on Friday. He knows they're thin. But if this team waits to make a deal, they are going to be buried because the Atlanta Braves are better right now. And I say, if you're conscious of this, you act now before you get buried, no matter what kind of price you have to pay. It all depends on what you want out of this season. Now, I thought the Phillies, when they signed Harper and put together this lineup, wanted to contend. It's obvious right now, if you have two eyes, they're not good enough to contend. So what do? You got to make moves. You got to get better. You got to trade prospects for players. I'm watching the game. I'm like stunned that they think Cole Irvin can pitch in the major leagues. I'm stunned that they think Jared Eichhoff can pitch in the major leagues. What more do you need to see? I mean, is it me, Tyrone? Is it me? Tell me seriously.
No, it's not you. It's not you.
Because I'm overly hard on TV. You have more faith in players than I do. They've got no players right now that can sustain.
No, you're right, and it's odd and troubling that they can't anticipate this, that they couldn't anticipate it. Because how many pitching injuries have they had? They've had some injuries. All those guys are Eichhoff, Eflin, mm-hmm. but they're all healthy, so they went into the season thinking they were good enough for whatever reason. None of them are hurt, and yet they have no pitching.
Why do you need to throw away a game? And how could you realize you're not throwing away a game when you start? You throw Velasquez, you jerked him back and forth. He doesn't know which end is up. Plus, he's not that much talent. And you throw him, go out and get him, kid. Go out and start a game for us. Because then we get you covered. We're gonna bring in Cole Irvin and mess up their left-handed hitting. Like, what's the thought process here? And when Irvin got shellacked, they had to bring in Jared Eichhoff. What is going on? They've got a guy, the second starter on the team. It was his day to pitch. Why wouldn't he go up to him and say, listen, I know you're in a bind, Skip. I'm going to take the ball for you. I'm going to take the ball for you this game. I'll take you off the hook. And then everything's settled. Right?
Right. They were awful on Thursday.
But they had to give him an extra day because they're worried about him. And so, like, the ace doesn't deliver. The second guy is, like, a goof. Eflin occasionally pitches a good game, and then you get to 4-5, and you throw balls up in the air. I mean, this was the season of promise. You just can't let it fritter away. All right, I'm disgusted.
I'm with you. I'm even more disgusted. And now it looks even worse that there was a starter available, and all it would have taken was money. He signed a one-year deal, mm-hmm. $13 million, who clearly is better than Cole Irvin or Velasquez or Eichhoff, and they said, I'm good. I mean, they did. They were like, I'm good.
With all due respect to their scouts, I'm not a baseball scout, but I think I have a pretty good eye. And if I'm watching Cole Irvin pitch and I'm watching guys like Jared Eichhoff pitch, I go, nah, not in today's big leagues. Sorry. You can make some money at AAA, but, you know. Like, well, what do they see? I'm starting to question myself. I'm going, I must be crazy. They see something that I don't. Both of them can't break a pane of glass in the big leagues.
No, and everybody else that they're facing, if you notice, like, who was that guy? He was wild earlier. That guy throws 100 miles an hour.
Fulton-Avich.
That guy was all over. I mean, he didn't know where it was going half the time.
All over the place.
But he was throwing 100 miles an hour. And where are those guys at, for the starters? Where they maybe they don't know where the ball's going.
Listen, they're down to the Aniel De Los Santoses and the Ranger Suarez's and these guys, Adonis Medina is their prospect. They don't want to bring him up. But I understand that. But go out and be proactive before your season goes down the drain. This is a promising season. You're getting 40,000 plus at that place right now. All right, the NBA draft is this week. And very interesting because I have some NBA mock drafts here in front of me. And again, you never know what can happen in these particular drafts. But I've got like the ESPN Insider draft by, is this by Zach Lowe? Who's this by? Oh, Jonathan Givney, who's an NBA guy. He's got the Sixers at 24 taking Eric Paschal from Villanova. Now, how do you feel about that?
I like him as a player. Mm-hmm. I don't like him for the Sixers at 24.
Because he can't shoot?
Yes.
Bring another guy that can't shoot here. That's what I recommend. But the second round, this draft, has him taking Carson Edwards from Purdue, who can shoot. Now, I thought it would be the other way around. But if they grab Paschal, Carson Edwards is still available, I guess it becomes a pretty good draft, because at the very least, Paschal could be a bench defender. I think that's his forte in the NBA. His NBA career will be as a bench defender.
Yeah, and I think he'll move well. I think he can switch mm-hmm. and guard multiple positions. I think he has a place in the league. I just don't mm-hmm. know how well he fits with the Sixers.
All right, now NBA Draft Net has the Sixers taken. Matisse, is it Thybulle?
Yeah.
Matisse Thybulle, a shooting guard from Washington.
I only see him play like twice.
Shooting guard from Washington?
Yeah, I've only seen him play like
that. Yeah, we have bad experience with that before. So, but in the second round, they've got him loading up on a bunch of guys that look like they'd be projects, including Taco Fall, the 7'6" guy from South Florida or Central Florida. So would you be happy with a draft that brings you Taco Fall with the final pick in the second round?
It would.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't play for me at all the first year. I'm saying that from the start. I would tell him, like, listen, you're not going to play in the NBA this year, but you're going to play in the G League. We're going to figure out how well you can move and if you can be a 10-minute game NBA guy.
Okay.
Take a flyer on
meanwhile, the big news in the NBA, of course, Anthony Davis going to the Lakers, which will be officially announced soon, that unites LeBron with Anthony Davis. And a lot of people are saying, well, Anthony Davis and LeBron, they should be formidable. But they don't have anybody. They got Kuzma, and we tried to put together a lineup. We couldn't even put together a lineup for the Lakers. They can't just win with Anthony Davis and LeBron. They need players to fill out a roster.
Yeah, I didn't realize how bad it was. Everybody's a free agent. They don't have a team.
Exactly. So, and they gave away a lot of their depth to get Anthony Davis. Now, if they put a team around that, they're pretty formidable, but they're in the Western Conference, so we don't care. But the question that I get all over town, I swear to God, I went to the Amish meat market yesterday.
Yeah?
And the guy behind me, behind the counter, I got some sausage.
Sausage.
Some fresh sausage. and the guy, I got to ask you one sport question. What Jimmy Butler going to do? I get it all over the place. I go, listen, I don't know. Nobody knows. He's a strange man, and he keeps things close to the vest. So the Sixers now, we look to the draft and we'll worry about the Tobias Harris and the Jimmy Butler stuff later. All right. I haven't been here for a while since last Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm a little rusty. So help me out today. Here's the number. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Talk about the Phils. Talk about the Sixers. Anything that's on your mind today. Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
219. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5. The Fanatic. And NBC Sports Philadelphia. So I'm watching the U.S. Open last night. The U.S. Open go on forever. I've never seen a longer sports broadcast ever in my life. It was like 10 o'clock. It was still going on.
The West Coast thing.
I know, it's the West Coast. It's weird, but they came on at like 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was like 10 hours worth of programming. Watching golf. I was bleary-eyed. So I go through the parameters, and I flip, and guess what's on? The Godfather 2, Natalie.
Oh, you don't say.
Godfather 2. And I catch
it. So rare it's on television.
I catch it right in my favorite scene, the senatorial hearings.
Okay.
With when they bring in Frankie Five Angels. I'm not going to do it.
No, I'm waiting for you to do it.
Later. Because I want to do other parts of it. Like, I like the Senate hearing, that guy with the cigarette. I'm sure we're all very impressed with your military record, Mr. Corleone.
Right.
He said, I faithfully served my country World War II. I'm sure we're very impressed. And then that Las Vegas senator stands out. I just want to go on the record. Italian Americans are the backbone of this country.
But then he's got a more important engagement than the Senate hearing. I got to go.
I got to cut a ribbon at a supermarket. It's a senatorial hearing. All right, it's 2 p.m. sponsor is, of course, by Ferguson HVAC line. Conklin, attention all HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Natalie.
Thank you, Mike. I'm a little rusty, too.
There you go.
All right, there we go. Opening trumpets for today's Twitter poll. Should the Phillies make a trade now to stay in the playoff hunt?
Mm-hmm.
87% say yes, can't risk losing. 13% say no, can wait for the deadline.
Okay, there you go. And, of course, the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an edge replacement in stock. Visit PaulBMoyer.com for details. All right, let's go to Chuck in North Carolina to start things off. What's up, Chuck?
Welcome back, Mikey, man.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Awesome.
I'm sitting here digging and cutting up concrete and doing all sorts of crazy stuff today. You know, just that's always something interesting in my life.
Yes, well, very nice.
So I know everybody's asking about Jimmy Butler, so I'm going to try and ask you in a different way. Can they afford afford Jimmy Butler.
Yes, of course they can.
So they can't. So they
can afford. They can afford both of them. He, Jimmy Butler, and Tobias Harris.
Well, no, I know we can, but I'm talking about the Lakers.
Oh, the Lakers. No, the Lakers cannot right now. They only have like $23 million left, and that's not enough for a max contract.
So even if they were to try and push some things around and open up money, they can only get one max contract. So
yes, no, they've opened up everything now to get Anthony Davis, so they don't have anything else more they can do. From what I know, that's at least how I understand it.
I mean, let's do it all weekend. So, and the way I understood it is they don't have enough money to sign anybody else. They're going to have to get like a George Hill or, you know, a Kevin Looney.
Well, you're able to get guys on mid-level exception contracts and minimum salary contracts. If guys, and that's possible, guys would be wanting to come there just to play with those dudes. Just so, and interestingly enough, the Las Vegas odds just came out, right? The Lakers are favored to win the NBA championship 7-2 after one move.
I know, that's ridiculous. I mean, just absolutely. And, you know, who knows how LeBron's going to play this year after his injury? He might not, you know, I mean, who knows, you know?
I think he's got one really good year left in him, and this will energize him. So they'll both play well together. Well, so we'll see. It's typical Vegas overreacting because they know the public is stupid. And the public thinks, oh, my God, LeBron and Anthony Davis together? Let's bet them. So they made him the favorite.
So this was a push all-in move. This was all-in, right? I mean, this is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, LeBron's agent controls the game right now. And so LeBron's agent orchestrated this whole thing. He said, listen, my guy's going to go to L.A. no one way or the other. So you might as well trade him there now.
Well, I think Toby and Jimmy should come back, and I think we really could have something special. I've been saying that, but now I'm really seeing it. So I hope for the best, and I hope everybody has a good afternoon.
All right, Chuck, thanks very much. Yeah, the NBA odds to win the NBA championship are as follows. The Lakers 7-2, the Bucks 7-1, Houston Rockets 9-1, Golden State Warriors tied with the Clippers and Raptors. Interestingly enough, that'll change when Kawhi makes his decision, 10-1. The Sixers are behind that at 12-1 and just ahead of the Celtics at 24-1. From there, the odds drop off significantly for everybody. So there you go. The Lakers are favored to win the NBA title next year.
That's way too slow.
No, it's definitely a Vegas overreaction, but Vegas is reflecting how people are going to bet. Because, you know, all these people, oh my God, AD and LeBron together, they don't realize it takes five guys on the floor at one time, and it takes a couple guys off the bench to win a championship.
Yeah, and they gave up a lot, and they don't have the money. Now, they said they could wait until July 30th to do the deal. Then they would have a max space. But think about that. That means somebody would have to sit around for a month without a contract, hoping that the Lakers would make an offer.
Yep.
So they might be sunk as far as getting Butler's not going to the Lakers. That's out.
Yeah, it's out now.
Yeah,
he's
out.
Disappointed with this deal.
Yeah, he can't be happy.
Yeah. Joe in Wilmington. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Yeah, Mike.
What's up, Joe?
First time caller.
How you doing, buddy?
Great. I sat down and watched the Phillies yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I saw their starting lineup, you know, they had three automatic outs in there. Tyrone's buddy, Nick Williams, who's hitting his hat size. And you got Mikel Franco, who's just as bad. And then Knapp, the catcher, can't even bunt, or he's not even a hitter. So you got three automatic outs, and they just have to do something about their bench plus the starting pitcher.
Well, listen, yesterday was more than who they put in the starting lineup. You can't expect to get guys out when you're pitching slop. Seriously, I mean, you're supposed to score 15 runs and beat that team. Those guys were getting. Did you see the exit velocity on all their hits?
Uh-huh.
It was like outrageous.
It was batting practice.
It really was. And that, see, to me, if I'm a front office guy, I'm embarrassed by something like that. I go, okay, I've had enough. I've had enough of the Ikoffs and the Cole Irvins of the world, and now I've got to go out and do something.
Exactly. I don't know where they thought Cole Irvin is a major league pitcher.
I mean, seriously, what are they thinking? What could they possibly be thinking with those two guys?
Cole Irvin couldn't even pitch in the Pendel League. And so
yeah, he would be great in the Pendel League. But other than that, you know. He's great at AAA. He's a AAA pitcher at best. And I called a kid in and go, listen, Holmes, I love you. You know, you're a good kid. I know your family comes into games when you pitch, but you're a Triple-A guy. So if you want to stay and you want to make $50,000 the rest of your life pitching Triple-A, you can do that. But I can't have you up here.
Yeah, again, and how's the pitching staff look when Sean Rodriguez comes in? He gets it out. He gets out, and so they can't even pitch.
Yeah, there's another
else.
Guy that's. I'm convinced that Gabe Kapler did him a solid. Because yesterday, he qualified for a pension, 10 years in the big leagues. And I think that they did him a solid.
No, that was good.
That was nice of him, wasn't it? It's great. That's more important than winning. You know, I got a problem with it. I'm convinced. Gabe Kapler was Sean Rodriguez when he played in the league.
So he's taking care of him.
Take care of him. Get him his 10 years. Do him a solid. He probably knows him from playing with him along the way. Now he gave him his 10 years. Maybe now he'll get dropped. He'll get released.
So does he make it to July 1st?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. Let's go. John in McAdoo. John, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. John.
Mikey Miss, how are
you? What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to call and tell you. 2 weeks ago, we had a conversation, and you said to me, I said to you that the Phillies weren't in first place enough, and you laughed at me. That was after the Cubs series. I said, so far this year, we blew about eight or nine.
You said you
games.
Wanted to fire the manager.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the manager.
I understand that, Mike. I still do, though. I still want him out there because I still don't think he knows how to manage a baseball
team. But why? Why are you looking for an easy scapegoat? The team's not good enough. You see the team's not good enough, right? What is a manager going to do to make players better, to pitch better, to throw more than 88 miles an hour? How's a manager supposed to do that?
Well, I agree there.
All right, so what is the manager supposed to do? Tell me what he's supposed to do.
Light some fire under them.
Well, this fire thing. In baseball, you don't light fires under people. John. This fire thing is the most overrated thing when it comes to coaching and managing in professional sports. You don't light fires under guys.
Well, what about Matt Klentak? What is he doing, actually?
Now you're pointing in the right direction. Matt Klentak,
loved your interview with him.
He has to make this roster better, and he can't wait until the trading deadline. They're going to get buried.
Absolutely. Like Tyrone said at the beginning of the show, they could have got Kimbrel and they could have got Keuchel for just money.
Exactly.
Now, if
you want to blame Kapler, you can blame him for his cockamamie stupid idea of starting with an opener.
Absolutely.
Now that's fair blame. But you know, if Arrieta doesn't want to take the ball, what else are you going to do?
I don't know. Did he say that he didn't want the ball?
Well, no, but you want to listen. It's up to a pitcher to say, listen, I know you're in a bind. And I've seen it many times before. I know you're in a bomb with this fifth starter. We can't send out a bunch of guys to beat the Braves at home. I'll pitch.
Oh, I agree. He should have been in there.
Exactly. This guy, they're paying that guy $30 million. Give them something back.
And they're saving him for Washington tonight, and he's probably going to get smoked by them.
Well, yeah, I don't know. The other guy hasn't been pitching well either.
No,
but
no, they're both.
I don't know why what they were saving. Frankly, you can't go out against a good team thinking you're going to get by with that slop.
Absolutely,
real. I don't understand it. Like I'm sitting there going, "What is there? Are you kidding me? You actually think this is going to work against a hungry Braves team that can hit? Let's send out Velasquez. Well, we got to call Irvin to back him up. Don't worry, we just called him up from AAA. What? Seriously, what are they thinking?
It's infuriating, and Friday was a gut punch for everybody. People were upset on Friday.
Yeah, because of the way that game transpired. But then they came back Saturday, and now you got a little momentum, and then you throw out junk.
And that's where I think, I understand that pitchers are regimented with how they prepare, but after he saw what was happening, I don't like Arrieta as a player. I don't know him as a human. As a player, I don't understand why he wouldn't say, because it's not like he'd be on short rest or anything, hey, let me take the ball, let's win this series. Because look what happened. Look at the alternative. I just don't understand it.
Here's the other thing. How many days did they have to prepare for this situation? They've been talking about this situation for at least 6 days. you know, that Sunday game is going to be, you know, we got a problem with our starter. We're not naming him yet. Like, it wasn't, it didn't leap up on him.
No. And yet, here we are.
And see, seriously, the people, it's one game. They look at it as one game. But one game can be telling on how a team's mindset is. And they just threw away that game yesterday. Threw away a Sunday game. They could have won a series in Atlanta, which would have meant a lot for them. And they're trying to do it with slop. And guys are just ripping. Just sitting back and ripping. Garbage.
Let me ask you about the manager. I think how he managed Sunday, though, I still believe that's what he prefers. He can't do all that stuff this year because they're winning and they have some players. But I think him tinkering like that is what he wants to do. And that's why he didn't ask Arrieta to take the ball, because he thinks opener is a good idea. He just didn't have the right guy. I think he thinks he wants to manage like that, but he can't this
all right,
year.
He's done it twice now with this opener concept.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. I don't know what brilliant analytics genius came up with numbers that support this stupid idea of starting an opener. It doesn't work. It messes up your bullpen. First of all, you've been using your bullpen all year. You've been overusing your bullpen to the point where five guys are hurt. So we're going to start now with openers? They don't learn their lessons. All right. Nobody cares. Really, nobody cares about the Phillies. 610-632-0975. You care about the Phillies. I want to hear from you. If you don't care, tell me you don't care. And we won't talk about it anymore. Because I got infuriated yesterday watching that game. Instead, I had to go bleary-eyed 8 hours of golf.
I'm surprised that there's not more outrage, especially considering how the offseason was.
But what's funny is after the game.
It's just another game that they lost, and I don't understand it.
Social media exploded twice over the weekend. Friday, it was trending number one in the city. And everybody was talking about it on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere, and on the station. People were talking about it like crazy Friday. And yesterday, it was number one, and people were calling the station here. That's what's odd. Or have we been able, or is it so easy for everyone to turn the page now? And it's only us where these losses stick with us? Or do people aren't able? Because they were angry after the game. They were angry in real time. So I don't know what happened between yesterday and today. Did they win a game? Because they were able to let it go very easily when they were very angry all weekend. They were mad on Saturday because the Ace didn't pitch well. Even though they won. They were mad then. It's very odd what's happening with these Phillies.
All right, let's wait for the NBA draft. The hell, the only thing people care about right now is the NBA draft. And the Sixers.
And
more people care about the Sixers in the offseason, they care about the Phillies. It hurts me to my heart when the Phillies lose a game like that. They have to pitch Sean Rodriguez in the ninth inning.
I was in a state of depression two different times after that. I was like, seven. When it got to seven, I was glad I was at my father's house for Father's Day, or I might have been like that guy kicked out of the house for breaking the TV. That's how bad I was.
That's me. I needed something for my Father's Day. My daughter was away. I didn't even get to see her on Father's Day. She was at a wedding in Boston. I played golf in the morning. I sucked. I come home. I go, I got to look forward to the Phillies and golf.
Oof.
Phillies let me down and golf went on forever.
Did you make a good meal
around
at least?
The clock? Yeah,
you made the sausage.
I made some sausage and potato salad, and you know
that helps.
Took care of myself a little barbecue.
Yeah,
play with the dog. And I look up and then they got Eichhoff in there. It's 10 runs on the board already. They bring an Eichhoff. I go, please, will you please?
Do you think people just feel that helpless about the situation? That's why they're kind of just numb to it.
Yeah, maybe
the
stuff.
That's what I think
care.
It is. It's almost apathetic. Yeah, the Phillies fans are like apathetic right now.
You know, I had the general manager on last week. I should have asked him, what makes you possibly think that guys like Jared Eichhoff and Cole Irvin are major league pitchers in this day and age? I should have asked him that. Well, we think they have a good command of the strike zone, and like, what can he tell me?
I don't know.
They're that thin in their farm system. Where the best they can bring up are guys like Ranger Sanchez or Suarez and Eniel De Los Santos. Come on. All right, let's go to Austin and Villanova. Austin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, Mike, happy Father's Day, I guess.
Hey, thanks, Austin.
I'm filling the role.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, you know I'm a Villanova guy. And
yeah,
I'm a Villanova guy. If they take, I just DM'd this to Tyrone. If they take Eric Paschal at 24, it's a nightmare. Because, he has a nice body, a nice NBA body. Mm-hmm. But the skill isn't there yet with what this team needs. They need to go after wings who have the length and the athleticism and the versatility to move.
Yeah, but see, you're talking about picking 24th here, Austin. This draft is two players, deep. Much less going to 24 and finding that kind of player.
But you're looking to find the next Landry
Shamet. Yeah, but you're taking shots in the dark at this point. Paschal is he shoots rocks, all right? He's he makes Josh Hart look like Steph Curry. But he's got a big body who can defend the perimeter. So at the very least, he's going to be able to do that in the NBA.
Right. That's true. But there are guys like Matisse Thybulle's okay. But mm-hmm. Cameron Johnson's the prize. If he's there and you don't take Cameron Johnson,
according to this mock draft, is going to be selected before the Sixers pick.
Well, you can trade up.
Is it worth trading up? Really? Cameron Johnson going to make much of a difference? He's projected to go 21.
I think if you can trade 2 second rounders and your 24th pick, it's worth it.
Really? For Cameron Johnson?
Absolutely.
All right. They may end up with him. He may be there at 24. Ty Jerome might be there from Virginia. Carson Edwards could be there. It's a shot in the dark, this draft.
Well, as is any draft in
2020. No. This one more than anything. I'm looking at, Zion Williamson, John Morant. The third guy's a good player. But then you go, Darius Garland? Seriously? Kobe White, DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver? These guys are all, iffy players.
Well, Kobe White had a pretty good start.
Anyway, you sound like a Carolina fan, man. What's up with you with these Carolina players?
Please. I'm not a Carolina fan.
Yeah, I mean, Kobe White's okay. The drafts have been deeper than this one in the past.
Last year's was deeper.
I'm not even sure R.J. Barrett is a success at the next level. He's got a little timidity in him.
No, you're right about that. This draft, they were comparing R.J. Barrett, they say, in last year's draft would have been around the 15th best prospect. There's a lot of people who think that. They think Zion would be a great prospect in any draft. That's what the evaluators say. And then after that, they say Morant would have been closer to 10 and 2, and Barrett would have been closer to 15. This isn't a great draft, but they say there will be someone in the 20s is going to find a guy that makes an all-star team. The question is it the Sixers or somebody else?
This insider, first of all, it ticks me off that ESPN still charges people for this insider thing when nobody else does. The ESPN website. They don't have their magazine anymore, but you got to pay $4.99 a month. Right, to get the insider.
Yeah.
So we're able to, I don't know how we do it, but we got it.
No, I pay for it.
Oh, you pay for it?
My own money.
Is this your own money?
Yeah.
Damn, man. Do you get reimbursed for this?
No.
Oh, I'm gonna take care of this.
I appreciate it.
All right, so in this draft, they've got the Sixers taking Eric Paschal and Carson Edwards. Now, it could be reversed, too. If they end up with those two players, I'm okay with that because at least you got two guys from the bench. I don't think either one of them will ever be a starter in the NBA. But at least you can count on one skill that they deliver off the bench. In Paschal's case, he can defend. He's got a big body, he can defend. Mm-hmm. He can rough you up a little bit.
Knows how to play basketball.
Carson Edwards will give you instant offense for a limited minute period of time because he's such a liability on defense and you can't get away with playing him more than 15, 18 minutes a game. But in that 15, 18, you can get some 35-foot three-pointers out of the kid, which they haven't had. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
We have your confession that you murdered on the orders of Michael Corleone. You deny that confession? And do you know what denying that confession will mean to you? The guy with the cigarette. Look, the FBI guys promised me a deal. So I made up a lot of stuff about Michael Corleone. Because that's what they wanted. But it was all lies. Everything. They said Michael Corleone did this.
and Michael Corleone did that. And I said, yeah, sure.
I had to get out of my system. I'm sorry. Thank you.
My was in the olive oil business a long time ago with his father, but that's it.
Alex in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Alex.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's going on, Alex?
So, here's my thing. So, I would never say that I'm I know everything about baseball, but I played ball in college, and, you know, it's a passion of mine. It's my favorite sport, and I try and watch as many games as I can, but what they're doing to the game, and I'm only 29 years old, so it's not like I've been here forever, but what they're doing to the game with the opener and all this stuff, I just don't get it, because the commissioner wants to save time off the games, and they're all putting in a clock in the minor leagues and all this stuff. And now you're letting these guys just go out there and have, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 pitching changes in a game. I mean, that's not how the game's been played for 100 years. And all of a sudden, now people want to go out and try.
Well,
and
listen, I don't care. I don't care about the game. If it makes sense, you do it. But what you don't see contenders doing it, do you?
No,
contenders have a staff. They have a staff they can count on. They have pitchers 1 through 5 they can count on. The Phillies.
That's what I want. I want five
exactly.
Guys.
Listen, it's only happened twice this year to the Phillies, right? It's a dumb idea. They try to justify it by saying, "Oh no, it makes sense because of X." It doesn't make any sense because of X.
If you can remember years ago, I mean, I'm sure you do. When you used to have a blow up where you lost your pitcher in the first inning or something. The writers would, you guys would get on the manager because now the bullpen spent for the next month. And they announced something that they voluntarily do. I just don't understand how.
Because they did it because they didn't feel they had a fifth starter. But the guy who's their 2 starter had enough rest to be the number 5 guy in that situation.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Now, the Rays were the guys that started this last year, and they had success with it. Now, if the Rays failed and didn't do well last year, would we be having the same?
Did the Rays win? I don't know. You tell me. Did they win?
When they started using the opener after the All-Star break, they were one of the best teams in the American
League. They didn't win anything. All right? So
no.
they did it on desperation. My point is you can't be a contender on desperation.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
So that's you got to go out and get another pitcher. It behooves you as a front office executive to go out and get a guy so your team's not strapped like that.
Or draft better and have people in your farm system that you can bring up for a spot start.
Which they don't have. They tried everybody, right? They tried every relief pitcher. They tried every starter. They don't have enough of it. So you got to go out and make a deal. And you can't, like, they can't afford to wait for the trading deadline. I know Jason Stark was on this morning with the morning guys, and he said, well, you're going to see a deal later. Because that's the conventional baseball wisdom, that you're going to pay too much now, and by trading deadline, teams get desperate, and they give up, and they're not in the running, and they'll trade you guys. But you can't wait that long, can you?
No, of course, no. Look at these Braves, the way they're looking, they're locked in. They've won 9 of 10.
You got to be progressive. If there's any team that's a semi-contender that could use a guy like Kimbrel or Keuchel, it's this team. I don't understand it. I just don't understand what they're thinking. They're trying now. They don't have anybody in their starting staff they can really count on. They can't even count on Nola anymore. So doesn't that tell you you need somebody? Maybe you don't want to pay what Keuchel wanted. Guess what? You put yourself in that situation, so you got to give it up. I don't know. Steve in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Steve? How you doing?
Mike, I care about the Phillies. I guess I can only speak for myself, but I'm just waiting for them to catch stride. And hearing you today, that like made me a little nervous.
Where are they going to catch stride with this team, this pitching staff they have right now?
I know, I hear you. I know, and I don't know why they would spend all that money but not go out and just get the extra pieces. I know they've been rattled with injuries. But, Mike, a question I wanted to ask you, like watching the series this weekend, watching like Acuna Jr. and how come our farm system don't produce guys like this? Like you look at the young talent around the majors, and
it's a great question.
Never get a guy like this.
It is a great question, And you're absolutely right. They haven't produced anybody except for Rhys Hoskins. And he was more of a fluke than anything because he wasn't even on their radar early on. They haven't produced an outfielder of any significance. They haven't right. produced a pitcher of any significance. You're right.
When was the last one, Mike? I mean, like...
The last stud pitcher they produced was Cole Hamels.
Right, or even position player. I mean, but you said Rhys Hoskins, but I don't know. I just see a lot of young talent. It seems like we go out and have to get our players out of free agency. And I guess I just keep waiting for them to catch stride, Mike. But I don't know.
Well, listen, I catch stride is a relative term. If you don't have a starting pitching staff, and right now they don't. I mean, let's face it. From 1 to 5, there's really nobody you can count on that's going to deliver you a win.
Right. And what I meant was catch stride at maybe like, what's up, Nola getting back to last year's form.
But I don't think he, see, again, with Nola, and I apologize to people who were offended. Nola only throws 92.
Right.
He's not your definition of an ace. And maybe right. it's catching up to him. And these days, you got to overpower guys. And he can, and unless he's picture perfect every time out, which is really hard to do, he's going to get hit.
Yeah, right. It seems like the time the second time the batting lineup gets around, it they catch up to him because it seems like he rolls one first
exactly.
inning, second inning, but
he doesn't. He can't strike you out with power, and then you need to have a strikeout anymore with power to get. He's a nice pitcher. Don't get me wrong. He's crafty. He's more. I always said he was more of a number two than a number one. But he hasn't really pitched like he has. He was absolutely impeccable. His command was absolutely impeccable last year. It wavers a little bit this year. And so he doesn't have the 95-96 to get a guy out when he's not picture perfect. And that's my problem with Aaron Nola. I'm looking at the Braves and how they built this team. And I think, all right, let's look at their lineup here. Because they've been able to fill in. Let's see. What was Ozzy Albies? Was he a draft pick? Or was he just a signee that they just scouted from? I think he's from Curacao, isn't he?
Yeah, so he might have been a signee, but that's still them developing him. They went and found him. Phillies could do the same thing. Yeah,
they're paying him $575,000.
See?
Yeah, they signed him from Curacao. So they did scouting. So here's their lineup. All right, Acuna. They sign him, right?
Stud.
Yes. Dansby Swanson was a high draft pick.
Yep.
Freddie Freeman was a high draft pick. Josh Donaldson was a free agent acquisition. Markakis was a free agent acquisition, or they might have gotten him in trade. Albies, the only guy, they really don't have a catcher. That's the only position they don't really have. But they've got enough of a young core, and they added a couple veterans to make them look pretty good.
And they got...
pitching staff.
And according to the experts, they got more guys on the come than the Phillies do. To if there was injuries, they have guys at AAA and AA ready to come in more than the Phillies do right now, according to the experts.
Albies was signed for $350,000 as an international free agent.
Well, that system, that system's going to change. That's why they came to Japan.
All right, 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli shows on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.